What's up, guys? Welcome to ID Podcast.
Thank you for joining us today. If you are a first-time listener, you are in the right place for all of the relationship advice you need to have a successful and happy relationship. We interview the world's leading experts, psychologists, therapists, and get the information for ourselves, for Sarah and I, for our relationship, and then
For you guys, too.
So we are right along for the ride, getting this great stuff. And today is no different with our interview. We have Dr. David Ludden, and he has a blog on Psychology Today called Talking Apes, and he is a professor of psychology at Georgia Gwinnett College. He is the author of the textbook, The Psychology of Language, An Integrated Approach. So you know, if you've written a textbook on the psychology of language, you might know a thing or two about communication. So Dr. Ludden has a lot of great stuff for us. And we focus in a little bit on how to deal with what I would call like silly arguments, where basically your partner has an annoying behavior, and he uses an example of
squeezing the toothpaste.
Or not squeezing the toothpaste, you know, like
squeezing it in the middle instead of at the end.
Yeah, you got to roll it up perfectly. But we all have these little things in the relationship that can bother us about our partners, and they can either be addressed in a productive way, or you can make an argument out of it and hurt the relationship. But just the broader relationship disagreements in general, this can apply to. But I think those little annoying behaviors, if we can figure out how to deal with those almost, and then the big discussions will be that much easier. And Sarah and I give some specific examples from our relationship. And if any of you out there don't like sound of loud chewing or food being mixed, I have like this weird thing with it, but I don't think it's that weird. I think there's a lot of us out there. So maybe comment on our Facebook page and let me know if you're out there. But we get into some of our disagreements around that, and then how to have a productive conversation.
Yeah. And I think it's important to remember that many of these little annoying behaviors or pet peeves were not a big thing in the beginning of the relationship. So really trying to figure out what has caused either the behavior to change or for you to get more annoyed, and then try and focus on the positives on your relationship, because focusing on the good things about your partner will really help to put into some perspective on whether or not those little things really matter in your relationship.
You got it. So you just chew as loud as you want for now on.
Oh my gosh. It's so funny. We're going to have like a dive down deep into this chewing conversation after this.
A deep dive down?
A deep dive down about this chewing situation. Right. You'll hear more on the show, but.
All right. Well, as always, we really appreciate you guys listening, leaving us those 5-star reviews on iTunes. We continue to get great feedback from you, and our numbers keep going up. So it's great to hear and see in writing that we are helping people out there, because it's certainly helping our relationship, and it feels great to know that it's helping you guys.
And if you guys haven't done our 14-day happy couple challenge, head on over to our website at idopodcast.com, and up at the tab, it says 14-day challenge. We send you a daily email for 14 days, and it really helps strengthen and improve your relationship. We've had some awesome feedback from you guys, and for those of you who haven't tried it, check it out. And while you're on our website, you can also click on the resource tab, and we have a ton of free resources from all the free guides that we've made from like the past, I don't know, maybe 50 episodes. We have maybe 10 or 15 of them. So we really encourage you to check out those guides. And a lot of them are step-by-step tutorials or ways to help you sort through different challenges in your relationship. So we know that we hope that they'll be super beneficial for your relationship. And As always, like Chase said, thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's show. Hi, Dr. Ludden. Thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
We've given our listeners a little overview, told them about your work, given them a little sneak peek at your article that we're going to be discussing. So why don't you take a minute, tell us about yourself and why you enjoy helping people improve their relationships.
Well, okay. So I'm a psychologist. I'm not a counselor, but I'm interested in mainly in communication and relationships. And well, I guess the reason why I'm interested in it is, well, first of all, it helps me to be better in my relationships. And I really think that relationships are sort of the key to happiness in life because, well, we're social animals. We have to have other people. And if our relationships, whether it's a marriage or even relationships at work, are not going well, then our life doesn't go well. So we need to know how to manage our relationships well so that we can be happy.
And focusing on communication is extremely interesting because it's such an important part of relationships. It's often where things go awry or they're really good. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. I love the name of your blog on Psychology Today of Talking Apes because that's essentially what we are. And I'm actually looking at Sarah's shirt right now. She's wearing a shirt and it's a chimp and a chimp that has a hamburger in front of him and he's looking at his iPhone and it says Civilized to Death. It's an upcoming book, but it's also a good kind of similar to Talking Apes because that's essentially what
right,
we are.
Right.
So we'll zero in and talk about how we, being talking apes, can sometimes annoy our partners. And we've all been there, and you give a great example in your article of a couple getting upset over how the toothpaste is squeezed or not squeezed out of the tube. But Sarah and I have definitely had some silly arguments, some silly things that we annoy each other with, and it's certainly a part of relationships. So why don't we just dive right in, and why don't you tell us, why do we annoy our partners so much sometimes?
Well, I guess that's it's impossible to not annoy your partner from time to time because we're each individual and we have to, I think the really important part is first of all, learning how to deal with your partner when they're being annoying. But also I would say recognizing what you're doing, that's creating annoying relationships or annoying situations in the relationship. And if you take the toothpaste example, I think if you find yourself getting upset because your spouse or whatever relationship we're talking about, if you find that something small has upset you, then you need to actually step back and think, why is it upsetting me? Why do I mind that my wife has squeezed the toothpaste in the middle of the tube? Why is that bothering me? And probably if you stop and take the time to think about it, you realize that it's actually not the toothpaste that you're upset about. It's something else that you're not dealing with or not willing to deal with or you really just haven't come to grips with yet. And that it's really that other issue, money issues, stresses at work, something like that, that's really at the bottom of it. And it's not really the toothpaste that you're arguing about.
Does it ever come down to like a control issue with the other person? Or is it usually like a situation like a work issue or something like that?
Yeah, well, it could be a control issue. I mean, there are certainly people who have to control relationships, but that wasn't really what I was thinking about when I was writing the blog. I was thinking about just the normal marriage and the normal kinds of little fights that husbands and wives get into, and really thinking about what the issue is. If you find that you're arguing about how to squeeze a toothpaste tube, it really is time to step back and ask, you know, what are the real issues that are involved? Because we're really not arguing about the toothpaste. It's
right.
Something else. Yeah.
It's so true that we often want to point the finger and say, you are doing this. You are not doing the toothpaste. Where the reality is, mm-hmm. is it so many times, it like you said, there's a trigger within us. And taking that time, it seems simple, but it is not easy to do to make our first reaction, what am I doing that is causing me to feel this, and then dissecting it. Are there any ways that we can get better at that personally to look at ourselves first?
Yeah, well, you're getting at the issue that we call mindfulness, and you're right. It takes some practice to do that. Most people don't really think too deeply about the motives for what they do, or you know, why they do what they do. They just kind of go along with their feelings. But I think to be a mature person in a mature relationship, you need to step back, step out of yourself, and think about why you do the things that you do. Maybe you can use those sorts of triggers if you recognize that you often get upset at a particular issue. Instead of just going off the handle again the next time it happens, but before that, take some time to just think, kind of, you know, look inside yourself and think, well, what are the issues that are really involved here? Maybe part of it is just taking the time to be alone with yourself to kind of assess your life and think about what's going on.
Yeah, being mindful, it's so important. It seems so simple. It's not easy to do. Definitely starting with meditation, just thinking about it alone is a good first step. But then meditation, I know, really helps me. It's something I'm constantly working on. I'm trying to do 10 minutes a day. It doesn't sound like a lot, but if you start, you just got to start somewhere, 10 minutes every other day. But just this morning, I had kind of a realization where I was, I'm not patting myself on the back here, but looking at myself, it was kind of after the fact, but Sarah and I were discussing something with business and I just got a little bit frustrated and I later realized a big part of my frustration was that I was feeling stressed and it had nothing to do with our conversation. So can you talk a little bit about, again, that's being mindful, but how that outside stress can affect these seemingly silly discussions?
Well, yeah, I'm glad you bring up stress. We live in a very stressful time. It's just the fact of 21st century life, you know, our modern society. Most of us have very long commutes. And through heavy traffic, and even if you enjoy driving, daily long commutes are stressful because you're really dealing with life and death situations because you're driving on highways and, you know, with lots of other traffic. And so it's stressful. Most of us work at jobs where we have, things we have to do we really don't want to do. Oftentimes our bosses are kind of push us to work in directions that are not interesting to us or even that we don't really feel all that comfortable with. We often have to work long hours. Then there are the stresses of child rearing. We live in nuclear families without extended family members around to help us out raising children. So that creates stresses as well. And I can just go on and on about the various stresses that we face in life. And yet we don't really think about them. We don't really accept the fact that we have those stresses and try to find ways to deal with them. Instead, we sort of just internalize the stresses, hold on to them, and then they build up. And then all the frustration that we're feeling kind of comes out in our interactions with our spouse or with our family members or our friends instead of trying to find productive ways of kind of lowering the levels of stress that we have.
I've found we've been pretty busy with my other business the last couple of weeks of teaching people stand-up paddle surfing, and it is beautiful. I'm at the beach. I'm not complaining here, but it can get quite stressful. We had family in town, and I had lots of people to watch over, and our relationship definitely suffered. I was very irritable, and Sarah and I actually had a conversation about it the other day, and it's amazing how I become just a different person, just usually a not nice person. I'm very short, short-tempered, nothing crazy, but I'm just not particularly nice to be around. So that's, again, something I'm trying to work on is managing that stress, just becoming aware of it. So I can't imagine, you know, a lot of our listeners, if you guys are in the car right now on the commute, I know I love listening to podcasts when I'm driving. Yeah, take a deep breath, and especially when you interact with your partner, and just like, I don't want to say, I don't know if compartmentalize is the right word, but you mentioned in your article that we often misattribute things in our relationship. So I think that if you're stressed, like with like I was with my camp, and then I come home and Sarah is, she doesn't do anything particularly annoying, mm-hmm. talking about annoying things, but I'm just already at a point. And then I react negatively, and I'm misattributing Sarah's comment as negative, or when she might just be, or you know, it might be nothing. So it's just so important to try to leave the crap at work.
Well, that's right. You do need to separate out the stresses from the outside, not bring them into the house as much as possible. But of course, before you can do that, you have to acknowledge the fact that you have those stresses.
So where would... go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, well, I was just going to say that even if it means that you have to take a few moments after you get home before you interact with your spouse to sort of decompress, and on the other side, give your spouse a little bit of time to decompress before you confront them with any issues, you know, even if it's just like, you know, getting dinner ready or something like that. Give your spouse a few minutes to decompress after coming home before, you know, before you begin any interactions.
And that was kind of going to be my question. If you had any advice for, you know, someone like me in my position, besides giving Chase a little extra time, are there any other tips you would give our listeners who may be in my situation and not quite sure how to deal with somebody who comes home feeling stressed?
Yeah. Well, if you see your spouse or friend, this works for any relationship really. If you see that they're getting upset over something small, if your spouse is arguing with you about how you squeeze the toothpaste tube, don't join in that argument. Try to recognize that this is not what the real issue really is. I would say just apologize if you've offended them, and try to get them to calm down, and then maybe later you can have a conversation which you can try to explore what were the real issues that were going on. But let's say if your spouse starts an argument with you over something small or snaps at you, don't take it personally, because it's really not about you, and don't react to it. Just try to de-escalate the situation instead.
I think that's great, because what I've found is if there's ever been a situation where, you know, Chase and I are having an argument about something small like that, the last thing that helps the argument is actually me saying, like, you know, we should do something different or try to correct him versus just de-escalating mm-hmm. it and addressing it maybe the next day.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because you can't talk reasonably with somebody who's upset. You can't really deal with the issue, so you need to de-escalate first. And then talk about it during a neutral time.
One of the things that really helped me when Sarah and I had a talk after this camp and after, you know, I had a stressful week was I told her to, instead of letting it build up, to maybe try to tell me earlier, like, hey, it seems like you're really stressed out. Is there something you want to talk about, or like, mm-hmm. or you haven't really been attentive lately? It seems like you're stressed out. Rather than, and I'm not putting the blame on Sarah, but I wish that she would have said something earlier. I mean, I do need to be more mindful, but I think a partner can also, don't let it like get to a point where you're just taking all of your partner's stress for like weeks and weeks on end, and
right.
then you bring it
right.
up.
Oh, yeah, right.
I think, mm-hmm. you know, the earlier it's addressed, the better.
Yeah, and I think you're making a good point. You can sometimes notice in your partner that they are under stress even before they've realized it themselves. because they're so worked up in whatever it is they're trying to get through. They may not realize how nasty they're being to the people around them. And so the spouse can be a person who can, in a very supportive way, say, like you said, you know, you seem to have a lot on your mind. Is there anything we need to talk about, or something along those lines, to help the person kind of come to the realization that there is something that is bothering them, something that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah, I think that's a valuable thing. And you mentioned like de-escalation and taking the time. That's another thing that I think is often, at least with Sarah and I, not overlooked, but something we want to maybe work on, is that sometimes a conversation is all about timing. And going back to like this morning when I was getting a little bit frustrated with our business argument, was I was in a rush already. I was in a rush to get out the door, and we were trying to like have this discussion. We weren't yelling or any, you know, argument, disagreement. But then later when I got back, I kind of realized, I was like, every time we get into that kind of disagreement where it's something small, but it seems to be that I feel like I need to be somewhere, like, and I'm being rushed. So those conversations aren't productive at that time, for me,
that's
at
right.
least. And so that's something that maybe in the future, and Sarah and I talked about, that we can table that for when I get back and I have more time. So I think that's something really valuable as well.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think you make a really good point. Is this sort of the timing of when you discuss things and recognizing when it's going to be a productive time to deal with issues, and when you just need to deal with the kind of whatever has to be dealt with first, and then come back to the conversation later.
And I think that's like, I completely understood where Chase was coming from, that was a stressor for him because he's in a rush and he's, you know, trying to get out the door. But a part of me also felt like, you know, when it's important to communicate, and also to not feel like my feelings aren't being heard. And I feel like a part of it was, I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain, because like at the end of the day, like managing the stress in this situation was probably like the bigger picture that we wanted to do. But also I do think in some situations that although managing the stress is important, I think it's also important for me to be able to like express my feelings and not feel like I can't say that because he's going to get stressed out because he needs to leave. So is there a middle ground that you can like meet at?
Yeah. Certainly you need to feel like you can be heard when you need to talk, but and express your feelings. But you might need to choose wise times for expressing your feelings. I think you need to kind of judge whether your partner is going to be receptive to what you have to talk about. If you already notice that the partner is not going to listen to what you have to say, then why bother to say it? It's not going to do any good.
It won't be a productive conversation for either of us.
No, it won't be. And it's interesting because you talked about the need to communicate, and usually when people say they need to communicate, they think about talking. I need to tell you, you know, what I'm feeling. But a lot of our communication as humans and as animals in general is actually through the reading of facial expressions and body language and that sort of thing. And so you really need to be reading those signs from your partner before you launch into any sort of discussion, to make some judgments as to whether the conversation you want to have is going to be effective at that time or not.
Dr. Ludden, you said you're not a therapist, but you're helping us here today. We're just feel like we're on the couch here talking this through. But yeah, I mean, it's just, it happens every day. And we say on this podcast all the time, like, we are not perfect. We are getting the information on these podcasts, just like our listeners, and trying to apply them to our relationships, because it's not easy. Like, communicating with another ape, with another person, not to mention living with them, loving them, being, you know, in a romantic relationship. I don't want to say it's not a constant battle, like that makes it seem like a tough thing not worth doing, but it is, we need these tools, you know, to communicate well, because it's not easy to do.
Right. That's right.
So you have literally written a textbook on this, and it's called The Psychology of Language, an Integrated Approach. Are there any things that stand out when it comes to language and communication, particularly in a romantic relationship, that are areas of importance that a couple should be making sure they're doing correctly or working towards that?
Well, I think one of the themes in my book is that every communication is a negotiation. You shouldn't assume that when you say something, and then you have a clear idea in your mind of what you meant by it, you shouldn't assume that, well, if you say it, then your partner will know right away what you meant. You need to negotiate the meaning that you're trying to get across, which means doing things and then this works for both sides. When your partner is telling you something, you need to listen. You shouldn't be thinking about how you're going to respond. You should be listening to what your partner says. And then you should be doing some reflecting back. So saying, what I hear you saying is, you know, such and such. Is this what you're trying to express to me? And then at that's when you can clear up a lot of your misunderstandings. Because oftentimes, it's happened with my wife and me on plenty of occasions where she's told me one thing, and I thought she meant something completely different. And then I did what I thought she wanted me to do, but it was quite different from what she wanted. And then she's upset because I did the opposite of what she told me to do. You know how these kinds of situations go on. And so if we just stop and make sure that we understand what our partner is saying, you know, before acting on it, then that right there is an important communication tool.
It's funny how that can happen so often and I like what you mentioned of not trying to think of your response while you're listening, because I think just thinking of that now, well over half the time, that's what I'm doing. If Sarah's saying something, you're kind of listening, but it's kind of that like in one ear, out the other kind of thing, rather than like attentively listening and trying to decipher and then maybe even taking a moment and then mirroring your partner and maybe saying, okay, what I'm getting from what you're saying, and maybe repeat it even to make sure that communication is right and you're on the same page before you formulate a response.
Right, exactly. Make sure you understand what the other person is saying. And it really makes a big difference in relationships when you take the time the other person has to say. It gives them a sense of being validated if they can see that you are actively listening to what they have to say and trying to understand them.
I think we have the tool that we're going to be using for our next discussion. we're going to try that. No, I think that's an excellent resource for us and our listeners.
As long as I'm not running out the door in a hurry.
Well, those are not the times to have important conversations. Because it's not going to be effective.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. If you're engaged or planning a wedding, you need to check out Zola Registry. Zola has everything you love about your favorite department stores, plus things like honeymoon funds, which is my favorite, fitness classes, wine subscriptions.
Sure, that's not your favorite?
Actually, that might be my favorite. And so much more.
So Zola has what's called group gifting. So if you have a big ticket item, like maybe a refrigerator that you want.
How about a new bed?
If anyone wants a refrigerator for their wedding, you can use this as your big ticket item, like a refrigerator, and it allows multiple family members or friends to contribute to that one item. And you can price match so you know you're getting the best deal.
And Zola is free, which I think is the best part about this service. It's free and it's super easy and fun to set up. Over 300,000 couples have used Zola, so they must be doing something right.
Yeah, free is good. So to sign up with Zola and receive a $50 credit towards your registry, that's like a down payment on a refrigerator, go to Zola.com/I do. That's Zola, Zola.com/I do to get a $50 credit towards your registry.
Today's show is also brought to you by the book Lovelands.
Lovelands, which is written by a past guest on our show and psychologist Dr. Deborah Campbell, is an easy-to-read guide to creating the relationship in life you most deeply desire. If you've ever wondered why you keep struggling with love and want to make lasting change for the better, Lovelands will show you how to make that change, not just in your relationship, but in every area of your life.
I'm deep in the middle of the book right now, and it's eye-opening. Deborah's wisdom from her own love mistakes, as well as her client struggles, has helped me examine myself and has allowed me to become even more aware of the reasons I get defensive or have poor communication or continue unhelpful patterns. Deborah really just tackles what's at the core of diverse relationship problems and simply tells us what helps and what doesn't.
Lovelands is available in hardcover on Amazon and Audible.com. Visit idopodcast.com/Lovelands to buy your copy today. That's idopodcast.com/Lovelands. So we started this conversation kind of talking about how to deal with like the toothpaste thing, that with seemingly silly arguments, and then, you know, being more mindful, trying to look at what is underneath this, you know, us getting upset about the toothpaste. But I will say, or I'm not trying to make a statement here, but I guess I would ask you, I have, for example, I have a thing that bothers me around the dinner table. Like if someone is chewing loudly, it's like nails on a chalkboard. And Sarah is not a particularly loud chewer, but sometimes, whatever.
Oh, I'm not a loud chewer.
No, but like, this is like the toothpaste thing, right? So,
yeah, right.
So
right.
At what point, like, I don't think there's really anything deeper other than, I mean, maybe there's some weird, deep psychological thing, but like, at what point do you, obviously we're together and I'm not going to be like, Sarah, if you don't stop chewing loud, like that's it. Or we don't have arguments over it, but it just kind of bothers me. And we've said that and like, this isn't news to Sarah. So I guess like how would we navigate that? Like we can communicate around that, and then how do we compromise, I guess?
Well, yeah. Well, that's where the negotiation comes in, right? Active communication is a negotiation, which of course means compromise, right? You have to work something out that works acceptable for both of you. But I don't know, a couple of things that come to mind when you're telling me about that. I guess the first one is, do you know why that particular, why you have that particular pet peeve? And it's something that you probably ought to think about for a while. Why is it that it bothers you? And if it's your wife, that really bothers you, then I think you need to ask yourself, well, is that something she's always done, or is it a new behavior? If it's something she's always done, then there was a time when it didn't bother you or it didn't seem to be a big issue. So why is it a big issue now? Is this actually a proxy for some other issue that you're not quite willing to face up to yet? And then as for dealing with these issues, at the dinner table, while your partner is chewing loudly, is not the time to deal with it. You can ask politely, maybe you'd say, you know, could you be a little bit quieter? It's irritating me, or it's bothering me. And if your partner, accepts that and tries to change it, that's fine. If not, then I address it at a different time, kind of in a neutral time, as opposed to right there at the table. Because if you are already upset by what they're doing, then you're not going to be able to think clearly in order to be able to kind of communicate why it is that really bothers you and what it is that you really need from your partner.
I'm over here kind of laughing because I feel like I need to defend myself that I am not allowed to, not allowed to. Chase has an issue with moving food around on a plate. Like if there's a sound of moving food that's annoying, then that's the sound that I guess bothers him. I feel like I have to defend myself because I don't chomp food. But
sometimes.
But it's a movement of food sounds. I feel like that bothers him.
In your mouth.
In your mouth or in a bowl plate. So, but and I, I want to respect his feelings that bothers him, but a part of me wants to be I feel like he has to figure out why that really bothers him, because cutting food or making, a sound with food happens at a dinner table. And, as long as you're not being obnoxious, I don't know.
I hear you. It's very easy to become defensive, but that's one of the things we need to guard against. If you find yourself feeling like you need to defend yourself, it's probably a good idea to try to restrain yourself. If your partner snaps at you from some sort of pet peeve that they've got, I think the best thing to do is just simply offer an apology and say that you'll try not to do it again in the future. We want to defend ourselves if we're thinking, well, I'm not doing anything on purpose, so why do I have to apologize? But you step on somebody's foot. You didn't mean to step on their foot, but you still have to apologize. And you have hurt your partner's feelings. And sometimes actually just the apology is all it takes. It's just a recognition that I understand that that I'm doing something that bothers you, and I'll try to change my habits in the future. Sometimes that's enough to validate the partner and the issue is solved.
Yeah, that really makes sense. I mean, when you say that you don't try to, you're not doing it on purpose, but it doesn't mean you still didn't affect your partner. And I'm sure that happens a lot. It's not just us. I mean, it happens to everybody, I'm sure, where they don't realize they're doing something wrong, but it still affects your partner. So you do need to acknowledge their feelings and still apologize.
And apologizing doesn't mean that you admit that you're wrong. An apology admits that you acknowledge that you did something that offended your partner. That doesn't mean that you admit that you intentionally offended your partner. It just is the acknowledgement. That's all it is. And so there's really no reason to be defensive.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because Sarah said, I don't think she meant it, but that she was doing something wrong. And I don't look at it like that. But yeah, it's just having that validation rather than her saying well, just deal with it, get over it. It's well, it bothers me. And I, I'll try to figure that out. But I'm sure our listeners out there can relate. You got someone chomping near you and, might ruin your dining experience. Sarah's not a particularly loud chewer. I don't want to attack her on this. But we have these silly things. And I think that the main point is that in a relationship, we have these things that you always leave your toothbrush is in the wrong place, or your clothes are not stacked the right way. And that's what makes relationships hard, are these quirky things that, obviously there's bigger issues too, but it's these little things that can add up and just to have the most satisfying relationship we can. It's not even necessarily to stop big arguments, because hopefully you're not yelling at each other about chomping at the table. That's not what's happening with us, but it's just that validation, that affirmation, hey, oh, you have these feelings. I'm sorry you feel that way. I'll try to work on that. And just simple, that is kind of the essence of living and interacting with another person, is that validation.
That's right.
I love in your article how you mentioned to try to think of the positive things that you that you think of when you see your partner instead of the negative things, because it'll kind of help you realize what's important.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, of course, it's actually a very common technique in couples therapy to start off by asking the couples to come up with three or five things that they really like about their partner. And just that act of going through the effort of thinking up. And remember, we're talking about two people who are not very happy with each other at the moment. Asking them to go through the effort of trying to think of things that they like about the other person or that they appreciate about the other person, that actually even then changes their mood, changes the attitude that they have toward their partner. We're creatures of habit. We don't change our behaviors very much. As we get into a relationship, we may start getting irritated by behaviors that our partner engages in, you know, the toothpaste, the loud chewing, that sort of thing. But really, those are probably things that that your partner did all along. And there was a time when those things didn't bother you because you saw so many good things in the relationship. And then over the years, relationship happiness inevitably declines over time. I mean, to just after getting married, that's usually almost always the happiest time. And then I'm not saying that it's always going to go downhill after that, but it sort of goes back down to baseline, your sort of level of happiness. And when you get into that situation, then you start, then those things that didn't irritate you before during the honeymoon phase, might start to irritate you, but you got to realize that those are not new behaviors that your partner is engaging in. There was once a time when they didn't bother you. And so, you got to think about them in the proper perspective and reminding yourself of what the good things about your partner are can then help you put those little things into their proper perspective.
Along that same vein is like recognizing that you're on the same team and your partner doesn't have malicious intent most of the time. Like
most of the time.
Probably
right.
Almost uh-huh. All of the time. But like if I was like, oh, Sarah, she's just chewing so loud because she wants to annoy me. then
intentionally trying to annoy you, yeah.
Right. Then I've you know, but just having that mindset, like giving your partner the benefit of the doubt, I feel has been really valuable of like even, you know, in like a serious argument too, that's not over chewing at the table, whatever it is, just, you know, coming in with the mindset of like, they are not trying to hurt me. They are not trying to do this thing that is making me angry. And then coming from a place like that, still trying to resolve the issue, is such a good perspective to take.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think you mentioned a good point. We're not saying here that couples should never argue, but arguments should be about the big things. They shouldn't be about you know, clothes on the floor and chewing too loudly at the table and that sort of thing. Those are the sorts of issues that you want to de-escalate. But then when it comes to the big issues, the big argument, big fights that you have, which will happen, you make a very good point about staying focused on resolving the conflict as opposed to sort of defending yourself, trying to assess blame. I see that as a really big issue with couples. Is we always want to shift the blame over to the other person. We don't want to admit that we have any blame ourselves. I think it's better just to not even talk about blame. Is just instead focus on the issues, not what you did or whose fault it was, but how can we work together to resolve this issue.
It's counterproductive almost, like it serves
it is,
no
uh-huh.
purpose except for to make yourself feel good and about, you know, bringing down your partner or maybe you are in the right and your partner truly did something that was detrimental to the relationship. But like pointing that out and blaming, there's no problem bringing up the topic and addressing it. But it's those you statements, like you always do this instead of
right.
saying like, I feel upset when you do this. It just the difference between a you statement and an I statement can make a world of a difference in having a productive disagreement and then moving forward in a positive direction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I think you make a good point with the you statements and the I statements, because to say you make me so angry is actually not true. I feel angry. I'm the one who's having the experience. What your partner did to you, after they do that, you may feel angry, but another person in that same interaction may not have felt angry about it. So the anger is really about you. It's not about your partner.
Yeah. And then on that same note, one thing that's helped me on a personal level is also recognizing that I am not my emotions. So I might feel angry, but that doesn't define me. I am not an angry person, or because I feel like sometimes I will, you know, we'll have an argument and I'm in the wrong. And then I'm like, man, I screwed up on that. And I'm kind of hard on myself rather than acknowledging it and being like, I had those emotions, but that is not who I am. And this next moment, I am a different person, basically. And now I can move forward without that being the definition of who I am.
Right. I think you're getting at the issue of emotional intelligence, and it's recognizing that emotions happen to you. As you say, they don't define you, and you shouldn't let your emotions drive you. Your emotions can provide you with good information, but you have to, you know, evaluate that information against other information that you've got when you're dealing with the situation. And mainly consider whether what your emotions are telling you to do at a particular moment is really going to be the most productive.
Absolutely. And you have really helped Sarah and I get through our silly table disagreements. But in all seriousness, yeah, this is all really important stuff, communicating with our partner. And it seems simple, but it is not. So the more tools we have, certainly you've given us some great ones today on the show, the better we'll be able to navigate those conflicts.
So before we wrap up, if you can tell our listeners maybe where they can find you online, and then we'll say goodbye.
Well, okay. They can find me on the Psychology Today website. I have a blog called Talking Apes, where I tend to focus on language-related issues, but communication more generally speaking. And I have quite a few blog posts on communication within relationships.
Great. Well, our listeners know to find all those links on your show notes page on our website at idopodcast.com. And thank you so much for joining us today and having a great conversation.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
We hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. As always, you can find the links from today's show on our website at idopodcast.com. And while you're on the website, we encourage that you check out some of the free resources that we've created for you guys. One of those is the 14-day Happy Couple Challenge. And we send you a email every day for 14 days with doable challenges to help strengthen and make your relationship even better. And we've also created cheat sheets and workbooks for your relationship. And you can find all of those on our website. And lastly, our Facebook group, which is the Love Tribe. We encourage all of you guys to join our group there as well. And if you ever have any topic suggestions or ideas for the podcast, please send them our way. You can email us at info@idopodcast.com, and we would love to hear from you guys. And we hope you enjoyed today's show.